Sunday school? Oh, I don't know.
Do I have them old enough for Sunday school? Or
I don't know. I don't know if they're old enough. You've got Sarah and stuff like this. Maybe they can take Christian. But I know Carol wants to help out with Sunday school, so we're trying to get that organized.
Yeah,
okay, we'll talk
definitely.
About it during the week.
Okay.
All right. Okay, I need you to open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. While the children are taken back to creche. First Peter 4 and verse 8. No, sir. That's okay. It'll be all right. Thank you. 1 Peter 4. Now, as we've been studying 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to encounter some of the hardest concepts I think you'll ever understand. Harder than the rapture. Harder than comprehending the tribulation, the millennium, understanding about the Antichrist. These things are going to either make or break you. Okay? I want you to understand, when we talk about Christian growth, we're going against the world. Is that clear? It is that serious. For the Christian, you're being asked to go forward when the world is going backward, when the world is going its own direction, and the Lord says, grow. Now, we're working through each one of these steps, but I need you to go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, look at this. More important than anything else that you may be striving for, whether it's job, career, family, health, above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. People sing a lot about love. I've said it before, I believe the best songs are love songs. Amen? There, Fields of Athenry just doesn't really stir my heart. It depresses me. But love songs are the songs that just thrill the heart. They're amazing. But just because the whole world is so focused on love, whether it's Bono or all of the music they claim to be singing about love, and there are so many books that are written about love, and really it's called romance, if you notice the terms, that doesn't mean they know the slightest thing what they're talking about. Somebody could write all about love and not touch what we're going to touch today. It has been said that love does something to a person, amen? It ruins them, amen? It's a wonderful thing. It changes you. It messes up your mind. You can't do anything. You're worthless when you're in love. You do silly things. You do embarrassing things when you're in love. But I want to show you that what God's love can do to a person. It's called charity. I'm not talking about just normal love where you're going to use the Bible word charity. And it's like nothing this world has ever seen before. Whatever this kind of love is, and the Bible is going to tell us here in a few minutes, according to 1 Peter 4:8, it is capable of burying a multitude of sins. And that's love. I don't care what somebody's done to you, said to you, taken from you. There is something about charity that is able to cover. Not bring it out and want to expose, but cover, bury, put behind. It's able to put that behind. It may not be the first minute that somebody does something to you, you're able to love them, but you're able to get to the point where you're always able to have fervent charity. You say, is that easy, Brother Ledbetter? It is not. That's why God, when He listed these things that we're to be adding to our life, He put that last. It is something you're not going to accomplish just after you get saved. Now, I noticed this. As soon as I got saved, I knew love. I, for the first time in my life, just felt like I could love anybody. Now, quickly, that was tested. And I found out how thin my love was. But there's something that you've got to understand about charity, and that is, this is not just normal love. This isn't even brotherly kind of love. This is God's love. And He saved the best for last. But it's definitely, definitely out of the reach of most of us. Because I tell you this, ever since I've had patience in our studies, I've watched people falling out. We just don't have patience. We're not interested in godliness. We're not interested in whether our thoughts, our clothes, our places we go, the things that we watch, I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about we don't care. Ever since we've hit that thing, I've been watching, God and I are never going to get us here until we start putting these pieces into our lives. Now, you want to bear fruit? You want to not be barren, empty? Well, there's something about getting to the place of charity where it is the most fruitful of attitudes, most fruitful of lives than anybody could ever imagine. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 now. 1 Corinthians 16. And this is not an option. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 14. God bless you. Let all your things be done with charity. Now, it's my motive. Why am I doing something? Why am I coming to church?
Because I have to.
Why am I going to church? Because it's the tradition. Why am I singing? Well, because I'll be embarrassed if I'm not and everybody else is. You see, what is your motive? Let all things be done with charity. And I call it living completely unselfishly, where self isn't part of the picture, but others are. And God is. And I came, whether you came or not, I came to meet Jesus this morning. I came to hear something from the Bible. You say, well, you're already preaching. No, no, no. Every time I'm preaching, God is hitting me with a bigger mallet, folks. Don't get the idea that I'm doing the preaching. That book does the preaching. I'm just echoing. You understand? Living without me in the picture. That's what we're going to learn. Charity is no longer me, but Christ. And that's the goal. We need to pray. Father, bless your word to our lives, to our homes. Help us. We need this. And there's not a person in this church who doesn't need it. We need a good kick in the rear, Lord. It's funny, when you start dealing with the heart, Lord, we think we're doing okay. And then we're tested. And we find out just how shallow, how needy our hearts are, Lord. Bless this message. Encourage your people. Don't. But it's going to be amazing. You're going to have to break us before you can change us. So I pray that you would do both today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've come a long way. We have gone through and looked at each one of the steps. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. You see, we're not patient when things are going well. You're patient when you're expecting something and things are going wrong and they're just not happening like they should be, and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting, and God says, well, add patience to your list of needs. Godliness, you add the actions, the thought patterns, the habits, the desires that match Jesus Christ. We talked about brotherly kindness, loving Christians above everybody else. You got mom, dad, wonderful, praise God, love them. The Bible says love your family. But this is extended family. And we're taking one more step, which is that top step, and it's called charity. And I want to talk about the power of charity, not just the power of love. You know, you imagine a church getting up and preaching, the power of love. That sounds like a rock song, doesn't it? The power of love. I'm going to use a Bible term. That's why God wrote that book differently than the way the world talks. Aren't you glad? So the power of charity, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to talk about four things. And the last thing I'll show here is what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to look at more meanings to charity. We're going to look at the need for charity. Remind you, we talked about the need last week. The purpose of charity. And then we're going to focus in on the power of charity. What God does in life. Also, that next week I'm going to show you how to grow charity, how to nurture charity. If I give everybody a plant today, most of us, well, at least some of us, would kill it in a week. We just don't know how to nurture it, amen? We may put water in it and we drown it, you know? We put it in the light and it gets burned. We don't know what we're doing. And it's important to learn how to nurture this thing called charity in our life. So that's next week. All right, as I said last week, when you start to define charity, you start to define something that is undefinable. I don't know if that's a word or not. But charity is not just love. But instead, charity is something that we know, that we've learned, is loving kindness. It is a way of loving. It is a way. I know nurses, Weston, I know nurses that can say, "All right, I got to give you an injection." And you go, "Were you with the Nazis?" And then there are the nurses that actually make you so comfortable, and you can tell they love what they're doing, and they love being a help, and they care about who they're ministering to. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Loving kindness. It is a way of treating. Charity is a love expressed from the whole heart. Jesus said, when you love God, you're to love God with all your heart. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He seemed to love us pretty completely. Amen? So we're talking about something that's the entire heart being involved in action. Third, charity is what 1 John calls, it is a perfect love. Self doesn't enter into the picture. Self doesn't matter. Whatever somebody says back, the more somebody tries to hurt you, the more, if you've got charity in your life, the more you love them more. Huh. Wouldn't that be something? Let's just put it this way. Love, it is a love without limits. That's what charity is. It has no limit. It has no, you cross the line, that's it. Love without limits. There is no lines. Jesus shows us that love. Secondly, charity not only is not just love, it is the highest step that a person can achieve. When God listed charity, He didn't list it first, just after you got saved. He said it is the highest step. Go to Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, please. Mark chapter 12 and verse 32, I believe. Well, look at verse 29. Talking about the greatest of all commandments. Mark 12, 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." He starts with the heart. "With all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." There is none other commandment greater than these. Now look at this scribe, verse 32. This careful, he's the equivalent of a lawyer in his day. And the scribe said unto him, "Well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all," watch his words, "and to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." You see, one is a way you love from the heart. The other one is a way that you love just with your hands. "Well, okay, I brought the sacrifice. Okay, I came to church. Okay, I gave the money." No. This thing of getting to the place where you love with charity, love perfectly, love without limits, when you get to that place, it's better than all the sacrifices throughout the entire Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? It also is more than life itself. One of my favorite verses in Psalm 63:3. Don't go there. It says, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." I've met people who sit down at the pub and they're trying out a new drink or something. They go, "Man, if there's anything better than this, I don't know what it is." They don't know nothing. Amen? I found something. And it's more than my Bible, it's more than this church, it's more than my family, it's His loving kindness. It's better than life. I'd give my life in a moment if He needed it. If He needed me on the firing line, if He needed me to sacrifice my physical life, He's worth it. Amen? Better than life. 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to go there in a minute. Don't go there yet. But evidently, it is what makes anything we do worth doing. If you can't do something without love, you wasted your time. Amen? I said this last week, it is the rarest form of love. It's not common. Let me say it this way. Charity is not affection. It's not fondness. Oh, I'm very fond of that dog, or I'm very fond of her. It's not an attraction. It's not even an attachment. Oh, I just couldn't live without so-and-so. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You'll hopefully be surprised where this is going to lead in a few minutes. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. You know, normal, natural love is fond, is attracted to. You're attached. They even make love an act. But Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says this: "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for thee. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for him." You know, charity is a love for unlovely objects. The only selfless lover in the Bible is Jesus Christ. All others had some ulterior motive involved in their love. And I want to say this. When we get to 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to be looking at love personified. Every one of those phrases, you could replace the word charity with Jesus. All right? Because He's the only selfless lover. It says He emptied Himself. Philippians chapter 2 says He humbled Himself. He became, first of all, it was humbling just to be a man. And then secondly, He humbled Himself to death, but for one motive. What was it? Not just for sins. I mean, He wasn't just a robot. He wasn't just a sheep dumb led to the slaughter. He willfully chose to die for His bride. See, Adam was selfish. Adam, when he sinned against God, you know what he did? He chose his wife over God. You know what Jesus did? He chose His wife over Himself. You see the difference? If Adam really loved his wife and really loved God, he would have died in the place of his wife. Now, that ought to blow you away. But Adam couldn't do that. He was mortal, just like you and me. That's impossible. Not for Jesus, though. We're trying to get a picture of what charity is. So I listed three things about charity. As far as Jesus, He was an interactive lover of us. He lived, He moved, and He interacted among us. He did not keep distant, aren't you glad? He was a proactive lover. Jesus was way ahead of our senses and our desires. His love, His charity, was able to see what we really needed. And so He laid down His life. That's proactive. I didn't ask Him to. How many of you asked God to die for you in your place? None of us. He went ahead. Real love is proactive. It does something above and beyond before anybody realizes what needs to be done. Thirdly, it was a mature kind of love that He had. He had a love that when everything and everyone went against Him, He still remained for them. That's mature. We'll talk about the need for charity. We went over this chart last week, but it's so good, I want to do it again. Human love is given selectively to a few. Charity is given generously to all. We give to those who we think are worthy. You say, no, I don't. Yes, you do. You pass on Patrick Street, and there's somebody there for there are different charities. I can't remember the name. Barnabas? What am I thinking? Anyway, there are different charities you pass by. Barnardo. Well, you still can't say it. Say it again. Barnardo's. All right. Or you pass by Troca, or you pass by somebody else collecting for something else, and you pick and choose between who you give to. That's human love. Charity is giving to those who are unworthy. Human love gives to those who always can give back to you. You invite them over for dinner, because you know that they'll probably invite you over for dinner. Alright? But charity is given to those who cannot give back to you. Human love is given as long as it's appreciated. Mark that down. Charity is given even when it is not appreciated. Human love is given out of our own strength. Well, I've loved as much as I can. I've gone as far as I can. I can't go no more. Then you've only loved. You have not cherished. There's a difference. Because charity comes from God's strength. Human love is given out of what I don't need. Well, you know, I got a fiver here. Here you go. I didn't need it anyway. Charity is given out of what you do need. Well, there goes that meal. You understand? Human love can turn to bitterness if it's rejected. That's the thing about human love. Human love can be turned switched on and can be switched off. Charity grows deeper when it is rejected. You'll know that you are cherishing something. You will know when you have charity, when no matter what they do, it burns brighter. It burns hotter. It is fervent, especially towards believers. Now, don't raise your hand. But do you think anybody in this room, without judging, just look at yourself, can anybody in this room raise their hand and say, I have charity? Maybe you're married to charity, and so you can actually call and say, I've got a friend who's married to faith, and he says, I live by faith, I eat by faith, I drive by faith. Amen? His wife's name is Faith. Amen? But who in this room has charity? I tell you what, it's as far out of reach from us where we're at spiritually as the moon is. Would you agree? It's desperately needed. It's not a thing for you to go, phew, I'll never get there. Not at all. If he put a step up there, he means for us to reach it. Amen? Somebody says, why would anybody climb Mount Everest? God sometimes puts inside of our heart a desire to do something great. And let me tell you, more important than Everest, more important than the moon, more important than the stock market and owning land and controlling and succeeding in this world, more important than that is getting to this highest step where I'm living a life of charity. That's the Christian life. Now, the purpose of charity. Purpose of charity. Charity is to be the bedrock foundation of our lives. It is to be the motive that drives everything, and I mean absolutely everything we do. You already read 1 Corinthians 16:14 that says, let everything you do be done with what? Charity. If you don't have this foundation, then all the other efforts are vain, and that's what Paul is saying. Let's now go to 1 Corinthians where we're going to spend some time. 1 Corinthians. Let me, while you're going there, 1 Corinthians, let me read this. All of life's problems are heart problems. Mary Harney needs to hear this. There's more surgery that is needed in this country than she knows about, amen? She's trying to rethink the health system, you know? All right, anyway. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep thy heart, for out of it are all the issues of life. All of our problems are heart problems. If we only focused on fixing the heart and getting it truly fixed, nothing would ever defeat us. But you know, drugs are a heart problem. Are you listening? Drink is a heart problem. Bullying is a heart problem. Stubbornness, rebellion, family problems, every problem. You got a financial problem, it's a heart problem. You say, how is that? Well, you might not have gotten into that heart, that financial problem, if you hadn't been lusting and coveting and gotten yourself so in debt. Amen? You understand how it works? Contentment will go a long way to fix our finances. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Somebody said this, all church problems are really love problems. All human problems are love problems. We either love God or we're in love with sin. We either love God or we love self more. We either love God or we love this world. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, he was writing to one of the second most messed up church in the Bible. There's only one worse, and what was it? The Laodicean church. And when he writes to that church, and he writes, almost every page is a serious effort to try to fix something in that church. And when he comes to 1 Corinthians 13, he's not praising them for their love, he's correcting their love. Correcting their love for the gifts when they had very little love for the giver. If you read the first several chapters of 1 Corinthians, You read a church that was fighting against themselves. They were envying each other. There was bitter envy in that church. And yet they had all the gifts. Gifts don't buy you anything. There was incest in the church. There were marital conflicts. There were lawsuits among the people in the church. Can you imagine that? Lawsuits. There were financial problems. There was disorder around the Lord's Supper. There was the intense abuse of spiritual gifts. They were all heart problems. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, I want to show you what he tries to give us an understanding about the purpose of charity. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I had the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and yet have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Look at that list. If you could master all languages and could command crowds, and even angels were standing, listening in awe of you. If you had such great faith, you had such a knowledge of the Bible, and you had the ability to know everything and could unravel all the mysteries in life. If you were the richest person in the world and gave it all away, gave every bit of it away, and even forfeited your life in sacrifice, you'd even be burned. You know what the Bible says? If you didn't have charity when you did it, did you no good at all? You see, when Paul writes, it's not like we would write. That's not what we want to hear. We want to hear a good pat on the back. Well, you know, I put a 20 in the offering. I usually put a fiver in, but I really went a little further. You know, aren't you glad? See, the Lord judges your motive. See, we think, well, you know, I went over and shook her hand. I went over and I told them, I said hi. I went over and I got them a cup of tea. Real proud of yourself. You know what Jesus said? If you did it without love, you did nothing. Amen? I mean, you know what Jesus said? You put two little pennies in there. You put two pennies in that box. And you did it because you love the Lord Jesus and all you got, man. You know what he says? All of heaven stands in uproar of joy. Amen? Because it goes out of love. Charity is that important. Let's look at this list in verse 4 and we'll go through it. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Look at verse 8. Charity never faileth. 10 things. You look at that first one. He always, you know, when God writes a book, he goes right to the hardest point. He didn't build up to it. He's definitely not like your normal guy who's constantly trying to build up to the punch. Charity produces 10 characteristics in the life of the believer. First of all, it suffers long and is kind. We call that having a lot of grace. It's the ability to suffer and yet be kind in your response. Hey, thank God for the grace of God. Amen. For by grace are you saved. Aren't you glad when you sin, God doesn't kill you? Huh? He's got plenty of ways to do it. Amen. Fear of God got me saved. The fear of God keeps me clean. Amen? Because there are some times when grace is so big in our eyes. It ought to be. And we start to sit back and go, thank God he loves me. Charity suffers long and is kind. I like that. You know, the word there is patient. Even when you feel like complaining, charity is willing to suffer the pains and the trials for a long time without. Are you listening? Without resentment. Secondly, he says envieth not.
Who knows what envy is? Partial, jealousy, another word. If you're right, but I'm looking for another one. Envy, covetousness, just greed, all right? These are all parts of it, but usually when we think of covetousness, we think of things. But envy has this thing of looking at others and going, it's not fair. Envy is this thing of saying, I have to be like that to be happy. Envy says, they don't deserve it, I should have it, so on and so forth. You know, when you look at charity, charity is content. You know what a lot of people wish for? I wish I had another life. Mm-hmm. Another galaxy somewhere. Some people ask for a better life. But you know, contentment is when you're so listening thankful for everything already in your life. You know the first step this world took away from God, according to Romans chapter 1? Neither were they thankful. And so what happened was when the world, the most important thing to do when you're witnessing to somebody, you're giving them the gospel, and you're telling them about hell, and you're telling them they need to be born again, and there's a judgment of God waiting, it is appointed a man once to die, but after the judgment, when you give them all that, and then you show them the cross and how God poured out all His wrath that ought to be on them, He poured it out on His Son. You know, the first thing that person ought to automatically produce is an awe of, wow, He did that for me? If they're not thankful for what Christ did on the cross for them, they're not going to ever receive the gift that He's given them. Thankfulness is the foundation for it. God deals with it secondly. He says, if you've got charity, you won't envy anybody. You won't be envious of other people when they're getting more attention than you. When you're not able to participate. There won't be a rivalry. There won't be anything but praise God. Praise God for what God's doing in your life. Third, He says, vaunteth not itself. You know what it means to vaunt, don't you? Vaunt means to prop up. Brag on yourself. Look what I did. Doesn't try to make themselves bigger than they really are. Doesn't parade in front of others. Charity doesn't show off. You know what real love does? It always directs praise to somebody else. Now, our first praise ought to be for God. Amen? Praise God when something good happens. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Is not puffed up there. Verse 4, to be puffed up means to be full of pride, full of air. The Christian who has added charity is not puffed up, but steps down. You know what John the Baptist said? As soon as Jesus came on the scene, John had the entire country at his fingertips. The nation of Israel came and by the tens of thousands were baptized and then just sat there and listened to him preach. And then when Jesus came through the crowds and he says, there he is! The Lamb of God! And he took him into the water and he baptized him. He came up out of the water and he says, alright guys, he's got to increase, I got to decrease. That's charity. You know what he did? He loved the Lord Jesus. That's a hard thing to say. He must increase. We get to number 5. Not behaving unseemly. The word is courteous. Never out of character. Always beautiful. Always polite. Oh, how we need this. Charity acts in good taste and conforms to what is right and appropriate. Love is never rude. We need some lessons on rudeness, don't you agree? I think our mouths, our attitudes, we don't know how to approach one another. We don't know how to love one another. Love is never rude, never indecent, never unmannerly. Love always shows respect. Never unseemly, always courteous. How about this one? Seeketh not her own. Still talking about charity. Doesn't worry about herself. Desires a change from being selfish to seeking another person's benefit. Charity doesn't demand its rights. Aren't we in a strange age where everything's a right now? You know when I got saved? I lost my rights. I'm not an American anymore. When I got saved, you know what I became? A citizen of another country. Amen? If I get abused down here, it's okay. There's a country ahead of me. There's no more abuse. There may be things that happen here. My rights, my rights, my rights. Where'd that come from? It didn't come from God. We need to be protective of people, for sure. But I shouldn't be protecting myself. Doesn't seek her own. Doesn't seek the development and the success of self. Seeks others. Isn't that what Jesus did? He came for our benefit. Amen? He's not easily provoked. I call that being thick-skinned. Amen? We were out playing paintball there, and I'm still digging little needles out of my hand over here. You know, I fell in one of these bushes. I don't know what it was, but it was painful. And I guess I've just got baby soft skin. I don't know. But thick skin, those things wouldn't be able to pierce. Do you understand what I'm saying? And a lot of people, I mean, the devil throws fiery darts, doesn't he? Now, he's one person to deal with. I don't need... What about believers? What about unsaved? What about people? I cannot help what happens in other people's minds as they fire at me. I can only help whether they penetrate. Do you understand? And kill me. And hurt me. It's not easily provoked, it says. It takes a lot to irritate charity. If you meet somebody who has added charity to their life, it would take an awful lot to get them upset. Love is not touchy. According to the Bible, it doesn't get offended. Great peace have they which love thy law. And what are the next four or five words? And nothing shall offend them. He goes on and he says, thinketh no evil. Now that's rough. That's rough. Most of my problems up here, amen? I have problems with that thing. I have problems with this thing, amen? Thinketh no evil. When he says that, he's talking about how a charitable person has the ability to pass right over a direct hurt and to be ready to forgive. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. I want to show you a word there, two words. They're absolutely brilliant to understanding this thing, thinking the evil. 1 Timothy 6:4. And he's talking about a teacher of the law, a Jew, who's trying to teach the law without Christ. And he says this, 1 Timothy 6:4. He is proud, knowing what? Nothing. But he's doting about questions and strife of words. Oh, trying to, you know, explain and talk about words that have only strife in them. Whereof cometh, look at this, envy, strife, railings, and next words, evil surmisings. What does it mean to surmise? Well, taint is one, but let's go a little deeper. Think something to be true. You're on to something very, very much deeper. To surmise is to analyze. And with your mind, go over it and over and over till you have convinced yourself that's what happened. And it's evil surmisings. What do you mean by that? What does she mean by that? Sorry? Yeah, but it's evil thinking. It's coming to conclusions that are evil. Does charity ever do that? Never. Very good. Or even if we don't know it's there. Even if it is there. I don't dwell on it. Yes. That's right. You don't know. Well, it's what we call prejudging. Okay. But you know what? It's forgiveness that we need. Charity thinketh no evil, quickly forgives. Why do you think the Bible says have fervent charity? Is it always evil to love each other, especially as Christians? Is it always easy? No. That's why it says have fervent charity, because it is taken for granted that normally Christians should treat one another with kindness, and they don't. Amen? So it's taken for granted that things should just go well, and when they don't, we immediately go, well. And the flesh comes out, and Christ is shoved to the side. You know, the first thing you should do is forgive. The first thing you should do is forgive. Charity is not critical. It never takes into account a wrong that has been suffered. Even when you feel like you don't deserve the treatment you've received. I love this. Love holds no grudges. That's evil surmising. Where do grudges come from? The brain. I'll never trust them. That's a grudge. Love forgives. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12. Just a few pages back, you'll get Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. You know, we know that the Ten Commandments were called commandments and not suggestions, but there are more than 10 in your Bible. There are instructions in this Bible that are just as clear and just as authoritative as commandments as the original 10. Amen? Watch these words. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Is that a suggestion or an order? Avenge not yourselves. It's a commandment. But rather give place unto wrath. You ought to take heart that God's not going to let them get away with it. But it's not your business. Give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. God says, belongs to me. I will repay, saith the Lord. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. And that's not poison. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Charity thinks no evil. But how do I deal with that, Brother Ledbetter? You forgive. You go ahead and you put it in action where whatever they've done, you just go ahead and forgive. They ought to come and say, I'm sorry. They ought to be man enough, woman enough to say, I did wrong. But you know what's probably going to happen? They won't. Should it eat you up? Yes or no? Should what they do hurt you? No. So go ahead and forgive them. He says two more and we'll be through. Rejoices in not in iniquity. You know what charity does? It hates sin. And it hates to see anybody in sin. Real love gets no enjoyment from sin even when someone else is doing it. You know what love does? It mourns over sin. It doesn't thrill me to turn on the television or watch that filth that's on television. I mourn over it. I mourn over the kids who are going to be abused. I mourn over the fights over between husband and wife because of wrong expectations in the marital relationship. I mourn over the way that the world has promoted this thing that they call love and the way that they push it over there. I mourn over the destruction of life. I mourn over sin. Charity does not rejoice in iniquity. Now the world, every time the homosexuals come out a little louder and they come out a little freer, the world goes, now we're having liberty. Now our world is enjoying freedom. No, my heart mourns. I don't rejoice in iniquity. I don't rejoice over people being free to do wicked things. Amen? You know what? If you love something, you got to hate something too. Amen? This thing of God being imbalanced, God is not the God of this modern liberal world where, well, if God is the God of love, why would He send anybody to hell? Because He's not just a God of love, He's a God of hate. And He hates sin. And if you line up with the devil, you're on the wrong side. You know, any doctor, he goes into a surgical theater there, you know what he's done? He's removed everything that could kill that patient. He hates germs, amen? Why? Because he wants to heal the patient. And God says sin is like a germ. God says it's got to be cut out. You can't love sin. And when you see people that are rejoicing in iniquity, you see people that are rejoicing in the way people are living, and they're like, yeah, that's great. Oh, wow, we need more of those kind of movies. We need more of that kind of music. We need these kind of things. No. You know, if you got charity, it'll break your heart when you see the world in sin. You can't live separate from the world. You're going to have to see this world for what it is and let it break your heart like it did Christ's. But you know what? We rejoice in the truth. Charity rejoices in the truth. It rejoices in certainty. Not a blind faith. Trust in that book there. I rejoice in the truth. Amen. I rejoice. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. You know, it would be a whole lot easier and more profitable to lie about things. You ever notice that? Did you ever notice it's a whole lot easier just to lie? Come on, nod your head. You know I'm right. It's a whole lot easier to just lie than to tell the truth. Amen? But charity rejoices in telling the truth even to get you in trouble. Amen? You rejoice in the truth. Those are 10 things that charity will produce in your life. Every one of them are next to impossible. You may work on 2, 3, or 4 of them, but 10 of them? There are 5 qualities about charity. Look here in verse 7 and 8, and we'll be through. Back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, I said, verse 7 and 8. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Look at these 5 things. 1, it'll bear up under any pressure. Beareth all things. How quick do you crack? There's something about strength there. Paul is struggling. Peter didn't want to go and witness to Cornelius. Why would Peter go and witness to a Gentile who had occupied his country and had, as the centurion, had been responsible for the ruin of Israel as far as they were concerned? Why would he go and witness to the enemy of Israel? Because Jesus told him to, and he loved Jesus. It'll enable him to put up with whatever kind of embarrassment, and it was embarrassing. He would never have been caught dead eating with a Gentile. And there he was. He even had to answer for it when he met with the other apostles. They were furious. He said, what are you doing eating with Gentiles? He put up with it because the Lord told him. Because he loves the Lord. It'll bear up under any pressure. It gives people the benefit of the doubt. Look what it says there. Beareth all things, believeth all things. I believe good. Things, well, you should know what's going on. You should know what's happening over there. Well, I believe it's for good. It has great grace. It believes every promise of God. Believeth all things. Look at the next words. Hopeth all things. It has great hope. It outlasts. We're talking about charity here. It'll outlast every trial. It'll outlast. Endureth all things. And lastly, it never fails. Charity will work every time in your approach and dealing with troubles. Don't you think we need this thing added to our lives? When we read through that list, our Lord suffers long and He's kind. Our Lord never envies. He doesn't wish He was doing something else or with somebody else. He loves loving me. Amen? He never vaunts Himself while He walked on this earth. He didn't say, "Bow, boy, you know who you're talking to." He never propped Himself up. They struck Him. They beat on Him. They said, "Who are you?" He says, "Ask them." What a way to respond. He could have said, "I'll show you who I am." Our Lord never vaunted Himself. Never was puffed up. He was a life of humility. Our Lord never was out of character. He never responded out of character. He was courteous, man. Now, he was straight up. Sometimes people don't like the tone in the voice. Sometimes people don't like Christians for telling them about hell. But you know what we're doing? We're loving them, aren't we? If you go and you actually break out of your comfort zone and you give somebody a gospel tract and they get mad at you, and say, well, how could you do that? Because I love them. I don't want them to go to hell. Our Lord never seemed was unseemly in His behavior. He never sought His own. Sought. I couldn't think. He never sought His own. You know, He sought my benefit. Everything that's happened to me since I got saved was God pouring stuff on me. What have I done for Him? Amen? Not easily provoked. Now there is a line. God says there is. Amen? But you, man, as much as we've done, we don't provoke God like we ought to. Thinketh no evil. It says, in whom there was no sin. He took all my sin on Him. He never thought a wicked thought in His life. Never had a wicked desire. I mean, it's an amazing thing. He never rejoiced in iniquity. He didn't look down at the world and see all the sin that's going on and go, whoa, they're finally coming of age. They're finally getting around. No. Thinketh no evil. But rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in things that are right and real. Charity is something quite unknown to this world. It is a byproduct, let me say it, of being loved by God and forgiven by God. We'll learn this next week. All of life's problems are heart problems. If we only focused on this one area of our life, you got health problems, I wouldn't spend more than an hour a day thinking about them. I'd spend 6 hours worrying about fixing the heart if I got a problem. If we got it fixed, nothing would bring you down. You understand? That's the thing that is, if somebody can get to the heart, if the devil can crush the heart, he's won. Charity is to be the bedrock, the foundation of our lives, of our relationship with God, and our relationship to other people. It's the reason why you do anything. 10 of the most outstanding characteristics that are found with Jesus Christ are found when I add charity to my life. Wouldn't you like to bear up under pressure? We need to give people the benefit of the doubt. We need to get to where we just trust the promises of God, not the promises of a person. Amen? I don't know if you had any trials lately, but I'd like to get through them, amen? Instead of letting the devil think he can crush me by them and stop me by them. You know what that Bible says? Charity never fails. I do. Charity can. I need charity, amen? Next week, I'm going to show you how to nurture that in you. How to grow it. How to make it the centerpiece of your life. You know what's the centerpiece in our homes? Are you listening? A big one-eyed monster. Preaching nearly 12, if not 14 hours a day. And we're not growing in charity, are we? We're going to have to put something more important than television, more important than a job, more important than food. You know what Job said? I have esteemed, I have valued, I have cherished the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Because I want charity to grow. Job's wife, she ran out. She ran out of charity. When her kids were killed, when her livelihood was gone, when all of her security was destroyed there in front of her, she looked at her husband and there he was praising God. She said, what are you doing? Curse God! Let's curse God and let's just die. What happened? Charity ran out. Whatever she had ran out. Job said, I got to hold on. There's something about charity that will help me go through this. And it did. You know what's wonderful? His strength carried his wife through too. Isn't that awesome? They had 7 more kids. That's wonderful. You see, it wasn't God gave them double everything they had before because his heart was right. Let's stand this by. Funny, Lord, how some of the hardest messages are the ones in the heart. It's the foundation. We may take some shots at the top of our life and at the top of a structure of our life, but it doesn't change us. Real change is when the foundation is replaced with Jesus Christ. 25 years ago, this life of mine was exchanged for a life that was eternal, forgiven, peculiar, it's holy. My heart still struggles. The old man still resists. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me to forgive. Help me that not just me, but every person in this room realizes this one step ought to be the most challenging and desired step in our life. It's not something just for a few elite people. It is for every believer who has been born again to add to their life. It may not be right now. It may not be possible exactly right now. But as we add each step, we will get to the place, oh, one day, where we have fervent charity, where we have it, where we're able to love and keep loving, endure, be courteous, forgive, be like Jesus. It's awfully quiet, Lord, I know why. Because it is so foreign, so different. But it, hopefully, thanks today, thanks to the preaching today, it won't be that way anymore. Lord, I love you. I think we all love you, but we want to love you more than ever before. I pray that you bless us and that next week things all come together and truly this heart of ours would be enlarged. Would be great. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your hymnal. 118. 118. When I survey the wondrous cross.